You're listening to Messages of Grace, a podcast of Grace Baptist Church Kelowna. At Grace, we believe that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. We trust this message will be a blessing to your life today.
I think the kids probably had a pretty good time. It was great to see the video and what was happening, and we're truly blessed. Do you feel blessed this morning? I mean, two or three of you. I mean, do you feel blessed this morning? I mean, we use the word blessed a lot in Christian circles, don't we? Have a blessed day. Blessings on your birthday. Blessings on your anniversary. God bless you when someone sneezes. I recently saw a bumper sticker while driving down Glenmore Road here. Blessed, it's all said blessed. We see the hashtag on social media, blessed. There's a recent song on YouTube by Jelly Roll called Bless Me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Who doesn't want to be blessed, right? I mean, we all want to be blessed. And today's scripture text is about a blessing. It's about a blessing. It's about two brothers who are competing for a blessing. A blessing which is quite different from maybe how we use the word blessed today. In the Old Testament, there is this emphasis on earthly blessings. And we don't see that quite as much or in that way in the New Testament. And there's reasons for that. But in the Old Testament, we read of blessings that have to do with inheriting the land or fruitfulness in families or fruitfulness in fields. And we saw this weeks ago, Noah blessing his sons in Genesis chapter 9, and Melchizedek blessing Abraham in Genesis chapter 14. And then there are these covenantal blessings given to Abraham. A prophetic blessing, really, blessings of a great name, blessings of becoming a great nation, of descendants like the stars in the skies. And then, as we saw last week, these covenantal blessings, they don't always get fulfilled right away, but they carry over into the next generation. And so from Abraham, he blessed Isaac, and then Isaac will bless Jacob, or will he bless Esau? We're going to have to find out today who is receiving the next blessing. But before we open the word, let's just bow for a word of prayer. Let's pray and commit these moments to the Lord. Heavenly Father, you have already blessed us far beyond what we deserve. I think we can all say amen to that. And so we are truly thankful. We have much reason to be thankful. But Lord, we want to ask for one more blessing this morning. I want to ask you for one more blessing this morning. That is that you would meet us, that we would be able to meet you as we open your word. Speak not only to our minds this morning, but speak to our hearts. And Holy Spirit, so we pray, open our eyes so that we may see ourselves in the light of your truth. And so that we may also see more clearly how great a Savior we have in Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen. So our passage, our scripture text for today is about blessing and brokenness. Blessing and brokenness. And we're going to look at seven different scenes, seven dialogues really, seven conversations. And these seven scenes, they show us a very broken family. We're going to see a very broken family in this text. So this first dialogue is between Isaac and Esau. Isaac and Esau in Genesis 27, 1 through 4. And it says here, when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, he was basically blind so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And Esau answered, "Here I am." And he said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. and prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you, so that my soul may bless you rather than your brother before I die. So Isaac wants to bless Esau. And this introduces one of the great big web of deceptions that we see in the Bible. First what we see here really is in these few verses, we see Isaac's decline. There's an indication that Isaac isn't doing well. Not only is Isaac old, not only is Isaac blind, he seems to have declined in his spiritual vigor. Earlier we saw Isaac meditating, we saw him praying in the field in Genesis chapter 24. He petitioned God then later on behalf of his wife Rebekah and experienced God's miraculous answer to his prayer in chapter 25, verse 21. And even further back, we remember, even as a young man, Isaac followed Abraham up the Mount of Moriah. And he followed him by faith without really any objection. We remember that story. But things seem to have changed. Now Isaac is old and his focus seems to be on a good meal, on a good meal. He's living by his appetites, one could say. And tragically, Isaac is contradicting God's command to him. You'll recall in chapter 25, which we looked at, the Lord said to Rebekah during her pregnancy, he said in verse 3, there are two nations in your womb, two peoples from which you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. In other words, Jacob will be serving Esau. And God clearly identified Jacob as the heir, not Esau. But we remember that Isaac loved who? Isaac loved Esau, right? He loved Esau, Genesis 25, 28. And so he thought, you know what? I'm just going to forget what God said, and I'm going to decide to bless Esau instead of following the Lord's instructions. And there's a whole sermon here for us, even in these first few verses. Not everyone who begins well ends well. Isn't that true? And we see that throughout the scripture. We see that in the lives around us. Not everyone who begins well ends well. Just because we get older doesn't mean that we get wiser. Or that we get closer aligned with the will of God. And how easy is it, and we probably know that from our own experience, how easy is it to drift in our faith? Dr. Culbertson, one of Moody Bible Institute's former presidents years ago, he would often end his public prayers this way. He would say, "And Lord, help us end well. Lord, help me end well." That's a good prayer for us, isn't it? To pray that, to ask that, "Lord, would you help me end well?" Carrying on, we come to the second dialogue. The second dialogue between Rebekah and Jacob in verses 5 through 17. It's a longer passage. Verse 5 begins like this. "Now Rebekah was listening." You know, they lived in tents back there, and those, you could hear things through tent walls pretty easily. "Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it back to his father to receive the blessing, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, 'I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son Jacob, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two good young goats so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves.'" And verse 19, "And you shall bring," verse 10 rather, "you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you, Jacob, before he dies. But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, he said, 'Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man.' And perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing. And his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go bring them to me." And so Jacob went. He went and he took these goats and he brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, the younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. He must have looked a little silly, but I can't imagine this. And then she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So Esau, he leaves to go hunting, and Rebekah shifts into high gear, right? She wants to save the day. And maybe part of her motivation, maybe part of it is to help God out, to help God accomplish his plan. But more likely, Rebekah really wants to manipulate the situation for her own purposes and for Jacob's advantage, since Jacob was her favorite son, Genesis 25, 28. And so here we see Rebekah's device. We see Rebekah scheming. And not only is this an intelligent woman, she is devious. She is, yes, ingenious in devising a very well thought out plan, but she is also very manipulative here. And now we know that it, what she's doing here actually accomplishes God's will, right? This is what God foreordained, to bless Jacob, not Esau. However, this was not the way in which God desired for this plan to be carried out. And so we see here how this dysfunctional family may have pursued something that was good, God's blessing. I mean, who wouldn't want God's blessing? But they did it in a sinful way. And that is something that can be true of any of us. We can pursue good things in ways that displease the Lord. And they did it in a sinful way. The next scene here, we have Jacob's visit to his father Isaac, pretending to be Esau, verses 18 through 29. And maybe as I read this, you could try and count up how many times Jacob lies to his father in this next dialogue. So verse 18. So Jacob, he went in to his father and he said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." And we may be surprised that Jacob wasn't struck by lightning right at this very moment for saying that. Verse 21. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Isaac is not yet quite convinced. Verse 22, so Jacob went near to Isaac his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, are you really my son Esau?" And he answered, "I am." And then he said, "Bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought the food near to his father Isaac, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Verse 26, then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and he kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See the smell of my son. is as the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. And so we have, in this passage, we have Jacob's disguise. We have really Jacob's deception, and this is incredibly deceptive. I counted at least four lies. I don't know how many you found. And actually, the whole scene is one big lie. So here we come to this blessing. And we don't have time to unpack this fully, but we ought to understand that these aren't mere words. These aren't just well wishes. Have a blessed birthday. This was more than that. And although this blessing is not a magic formula, it is a declaration. It is prophetic in a sense. And it is effective because God stands behind this blessing. You see, this is all part of the greater covenant that God made with Abraham. And although Isaac is a flawed human being, God still appointed him as a patriarch through whom God's plan would come to be fulfilled. And in that sense, Isaac really is speaking under divine influence, declaring a promise that is going to shape Jacob's future as one more part of God's redemptive story. Come to the next dialogue. The next one is between Isaac and Esau in verses 30 through 40. Let me read it. Verse 30 begins this way. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, who arrives? Esau. Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game that you may bless me." And Isaac said to him, "Who are you? Who are you?" And he answered, "I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently. I mean, he must have been raging mad. He must have been absolutely furious. "Who was it then," he asked, "that hunted game and brought it to me earlier? And I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him." And Jacob realizes at this point that it's done. Isaac realizes that it's done. It's a done deal. "Yes, and he," Jacob, Isaac says this, "yes, and he," Jacob, "shall be blessed. He shall be the one who is blessed." Verse 34, as soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, "Bless me even, me also, my father." But Isaac said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob?" What does the name Jacob mean? Anyone know? Yes, deceiver. Means supplanter, deceiver. "For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright," which we saw when Pastor Brent spoke on Genesis 25. "And behold, now he has taken away also my blessing." Then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered, and he said to Esau, "Behold, I have made Jacob Lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Verse 38, Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and he wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered, and he said to him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." Indicating that in some future time, Esau would be free, or he would free himself from his brother's control. And so here in this passage, we have Esau's despair. It's kind of a heartbreaking scene, isn't it? Esau weeps, but these are no tears of repentance. That's what we later learn in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17. It indicates that Esau was not repentant. But these are tears of bitterness. These are tears of regret. And friends, regret and repentance are not the same thing. They're not the same thing. There's godly repentance, and then there's the regret for being caught or being left out in this case. And so here we see that it's too late. The blessing has already been given to Jacob. There's no room for a reversal. Only a second blessing that sounds more like a curse than it sounds like a blessing. Moving on, the fifth scene. 15 is with Rebekah and Jacob, verses 41 through 45. Now Esau hated Jacob. We're not surprised, right? I mean, he was piping mad. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching." So he's going to die sometime soon, he thinks. "Then I will kill my brother Jacob." But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. Moms always find out everything, don't they? So she sent and she called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice." Once again, "obey my plan. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother in Haran, and stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and I will bring you from there. Why should I be bereft of both in one day?" Both of my sons in one day. And here we see that Esau's despair turns into hatred, and his hatred turns into evil intent, even the desire to get even by murdering his brother. And so here we have Esau's death threat. Again, Rebekah devises another plan. She's scheming again. "Jacob, go run away. I just need to find a way to explain all of this to your father without telling him what's really happening." So the sixth scene is found in verse 46. It's a short one, a short dialogue with Rebekah and Isaac. Verse 46 says, "And Rebekah said this to Isaac. She said, 'I loathe my life because of the Hittite women. If Jacob marries one of the Hittite women like these, one of the women of the land, what good will my life be to me?'" And you go, what in the world is going on here? Well, at the end of chapter 26, which I didn't read last week because it fits more with what's happening here, we learn that Esau took two Hittite wives, which made life, it says there, it made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. They were pagan wives. And so Rebekah says, "I don't want Jacob to end up like Esau and marry someone from our neighborhood. Jacob needs to find a wife from our family, not from the Canaanites." And so just as Abraham insisted that Isaac find a wife from his own clan, Rebekah is saying, you know what, our son Jacob needs to do the same. And it all sounds very noble. However, there is deception here once again. There's this dual motive at work on Rebekah's part. She needs an excuse to send Jacob off to safety without divulging Esau's death threat to Isaac. And so it's another carefully devised plan to send Jacob off under false pretenses. And so here we see Rebekah's duplicity. Finally, the seventh scene here is a dialogue with Isaac and Jacob, which takes us to the beginning of chapter 28. Covering a lot of ground today. 28, verse 1 says, "Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and directed him, 'You must not take a wife from the Canaanite women.'" He was listening to his wife, wasn't he? Rebekah. "Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take as your wife from there one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you that you may become a company of peoples. May he give the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offspring with you, that you may take possession of the land of your sojournings that God gave to Abraham." And here again we see Isaac coming around. He's blessing Jacob this time publicly. And we see that this continuation of the covenantal blessing given to Abraham and how it's being passed down to Jacob. And then verse 5 says, "Thus Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paddan Aram, to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Arameean, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother." You know, it's a messy story, isn't it? It's a messy story of a dysfunctional family, a tangled web of deception. And yet in this dark story, there's a silver lining. And so we ought to think about Jacob's destiny. Jacob's destiny more than maybe Jacob's character. And we will see this as we keep following Jacob's journey. God's providential plan has not suffered any setback at all through all this deception that was going on in this family. God is still in control, and he's still in control of your life as well. God's purposes for Jacob and the covenant which God initiated with Abraham will prevail. In spite of all the hate and all the bitterness and all the jealousies and all the lying and the scheming and the manipulating, despite this web of deception, all of the wrong is no match for God's invincible determination to bring about his good purposes by working with and through people who are terribly flawed and fickle, and have all kinds of faults, like Jacob. God is still able to do his work, even through Jacob. It's true there are no heroes in Isaac's family. Isaac disobeys God, Rebekah is a manipulator, Esau is vengeful. And we look at this character, Jacob, and we say, what a scoundrel he is. I mean, you want to send him really to your brother and say, marry one of my nieces? I wouldn't want to send Jacob to my family, to be honest. But it's interesting that God can accomplish anything with someone even like Jacob. And dear friends, I hope we can see one thing this morning. And that is this: I am Jacob and you are Jacob. Really? I don't hear anybody say amen to that, but it's true, isn't it? We're Jacob. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the good news is that God our Father, amidst our sins and our stupidities and our innumerable failures, God is able and willing to bless us still. And he is determined to bring us to completion. And that is amazing grace. For he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6. For if we are faithless, he remains faithful. 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. And dear friends, this is possible. This is only possible. This is only possible through the cross of Jesus Christ, who came into our world, who lived a perfectly sinless life, who suffered and died on our account, giving his life as a sacrifice for our sins, taking all of our unrighteousness upon himself, and in exchange, giving us his perfect righteousness, his perfect record. He paid it all. He paid the price for your sin and for my sin, so that when God looks at us today, when he looks at you today, when God the Father looks at you and me today, he doesn't see a Jacob. He sees Jesus. Amen? He doesn't see a Jacob. He sees Jesus. He sees you with a perfect record. And therefore, with Isaiah, we rejoice greatly in the Lord, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. Isaiah 61, verse 10. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness, looking forward to a Savior who would give his perfect righteousness to us, even though we are Jacob.
If you would like to learn more about how you can know Jesus or deepen your relationship with him, simply contact our church office by email at office@gracekelowna.com or by calling our church office at 250-763-3457.